A number of years ago, I read a book by an Australian Dominican named Albert Nolan. The book was called Jesus Today, or maybe it was Jesus Now. At any rate, the very first words in the book, the opening sentence, read something like this. The greatest problem facing Christianity today is that so many people who claim to be Christians don't really take Jesus seriously. Now, you may or may not agree with that, but he went on to explain, well, you know, how many of us really do love our enemies? How many of us really do pray for those who hurt us or turn the other cheek and all those other things Jesus tells us about in the Sermon on the Mount and the parable of the Last Judgment? I know I find myself not always following those things as seriously as I should. But at the same time, I am convinced that if everyone in this world who claims to be Christian really did take Jesus seriously, I think it would be a very different world. But maybe we'd like to take one step back and say that perhaps the reason why some people, or maybe many people, do not take Jesus seriously is that they do not really know or do not really love him. Now, St. Ignatius Loyola, in his spiritual exercises, has the retreatant spend a lot of time contemplating the mysteries of the life of Christ. His instruction to the retreatant is that he or she, at the beginning of their prayer, should ask God for a special grace, really a threefold grace. And I'm sure many of you have heard of this before. The grace is to know Jesus more intimately, to love him more ardently, and to follow him more closely. Ignatius was convinced that if we knew Jesus better, we'd love him more, and if we loved him more, we would follow him more closely, and therefore perhaps take him more seriously. Well, in our gospel today, we hear about two people who came to know Jesus more intimately, to love him more ardently, and to follow him more closely. Recall the scene. John the Baptist is baptizing by the River Jordan. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. That's a grace. And John responds to the grace. He points Jesus out and he says, "There is the Lamb of God." And with that simple statement, it seems to me he does two things. First of all, he encourages his own followers to transfer their allegiance to Jesus. It's time for him to move off the scene. He has done the work he came to do. He has prepared the way, and now he lets the others know that Jesus is the one to follow. At the same time, there's a caution in that statement, I think. That phrase, Lamb of God, is really fraught with meaning. Any good Jew probably would have immediately thought of the Passover lamb, whose blood saved the firstborn of the Israelites and allowed them to escape captivity, to be liberated from oppression. John warns his disciples that following this lamb could also entail sacrifice. But then we know in the Christian scripture there is another lamb, the Lamb of the book of Revelation, that sits enthroned in heaven after vanquishing the forces of evil. So whoever is willing to risk the sacrifice of following the Lamb of God will share the joy and victory of that same Lamb's glory. And so they followed him. Jesus turns, sees them, and asks, "What are you looking for?" Now, this is not the trite kind of stereotypical question we might ask someone who's stepping on our heels. Remember, this is John's gospel, and of course, there's always more going on than immediately meets the eye. What he's really asking them is to look deep into themselves. Why is it, Jesus asks, that you are turning to me? Why are you turning to the Lamb of God? They obviously are not yet ready to answer that question. So instead, they ask him a question. Where are you staying? Jesus says, come, and you will see. John the Evangelist tells us that they went and stayed with him that day, and they did not leave until the next morning. And when they left him, they were different people. Something had happened in that encounter. One of them, Andrew, goes to his brother Simon and brings him to Jesus. Isn't that exactly what a disciple is supposed to do? To bring others to Jesus. Isn't that what we also are supposed to do, each of us in his or her own way? In giving retreats, I often encourage people to spend some time praying over that scene. I encourage all of you to do the same thing. In your imagination, go with Jesus and those two disciples. Listen to their conversation. Imagine what it is they say. What do they talk about? Do they get to the point where they can tell Jesus what they're looking for, what they want their lives to be like? And what does Jesus say to them? Does he talk about his mission from the Father? Does he ask them to join him in that mission? Does he tell them what he is looking for? And then, in your imagination, can you see Jesus turn to you, look you in the eye, and ask you that question? What are you looking for? And what do you answer? The lives of those two disciples changed because they spent time with Jesus. Our lives, too, can change if we spend times with Jesus. Sometimes when I suggest that to people, I hear them say, oh, yeah, that's just what I'm afraid of, as though Jesus might be calling me to do something that I really don't want to do. And so they're afraid to spend that time with Jesus. At any rate, I heartily recommend it, spending time with Jesus. It may just be a few minutes each day, thinking of how he loved us and gave himself for us, how he is still present to us in the Eucharist, the Eucharist that we share when we come here to worship, how he's present in all the people around us in every circumstance of our lives. We might ask him to help us recognize him and respond to him. We might read a bit of the Gospels each day and reflect on what we read, asking God to help us see how what we read can affect our lives. We might take advantage of the many opportunities our parish offers to spend some time with Jesus. We have many prayer services. We have retreats that are offered for the people who wish to make them. One is beginning next week, next Sunday evening. You might want to look it up and perhaps take part in it. There are many occasions here when we can respond to Jesus' invitation to come and see. Time to ponder the question Jesus put to the disciples, the question Jesus puts to us today. What are you looking for?